Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ, this sermon has been uploaded for you by Grace Unlimited, a ministry that functions out of Living Hope Church, Pretoria, South Africa. We want Jesus Christ to have first place in everything in our church, and we want to help you know and follow Jesus in all of life, and to help others do the same. Find out more or download many more free sermons at graceunlimited.co.za or livinghopechurch.co.za.
Yeah, it's my joy and privilege this morning to open God's Word. And before I do so, I just wanted to thank the church, the Relational Church, and the whole church family for your love, your care, your prayers on my behalf. This is our last Sunday in a while. My wife and our children will be traveling back to Malawi this coming Thursday. There's actually been about 5 months for my wife being away from home. So looking forward to getting back. But we do not have enough ways to express our joy and gratitude for the care that you have shown us these few months. So when I was asked to preach, I was asking myself, tomorrow is Christmas, what am I going to preach about? So I tried to quieten my own heart and just, you know, to see what would be most helpful for me to preach on. And I didn't go further than my favorite psalm that Brother Safari just read. But my focus today will not be on the entire psalm. I'll only focus on the first two verses. I believe these two verses will help us appreciate the reason for the season. For us to appreciate Christmas. In fact, I want to speak this afternoon about true happiness. True happiness. And the question I have for you is, are you truly happy? We have come to the end of 2017. A lot has happened, even in this church, in individuals' lives. But can you say in all certainty that you are happy? 13 years ago, if you were to ask me what makes me happy, I'll probably, without thinking, say a six-pack of Black Label. Yes, you heard me correctly. Six-pack of Carling Black Label beer. Those who knew me before my spiritual heart surgery would say that if you want to deal with Newton, just get him Black Label. I so much believed that there's no real happiness outside Black Label. I would do almost anything, even becoming a locksmith. You know what a locksmith does? Not a real locksmith. The kind of locksmith that I was, breaking people's doors. I remember even my wife, before she became even my wife, she once said this to me, "Why don't you stop drinking?" My response was, "Ndiyo nizito." In my language, that means, "So what am I going to be doing?" If you listen carefully to that statement I gave my wife, you realize that this is somebody who is defeated. This is an attitude of somebody who is defeated. I concluded that there's no life than drinking beer. Well, that is my story. I know you have your own story. But you see, we are all creatures of habits, are we not? If you had to ask me today what makes me happy, thankfully, the answer will be different than the answer I would have given you 13 years ago. Praise the Lord. But let's change some seats now. For a moment, shall we? Let me ask you, what makes you happy? Today is the 24th of December. And this weekend, liquor stores make the most sales than any other time of the year. You know why? Because people have bought the lie that I myself bought, that true happiness is found in indulging a bit. It is found in in losing our God-given sensibilities, our God-given faculties. Now, I realize in a group like this, speaking mostly to Christians, you may be saying, yeah, good for you, Newton, but alcohol has never been an issue for me. Well, good for you. You actually, in all sincerity, have missed nothing. But where is then your idol? You surely have one. Maybe it's your job, a relationship, children, a need to be accepted. You also have something that makes you happy if you have it, and it makes you unhappy if you don't have it. So, I want to speak today again about true happiness, true blessedness. And the reason is that, the reason is simple, because we are all so prone to hear about true blessedness, true happiness, then nod our heads and still move on to seek other things that are lesser than the true blessedness. So, today, I'm going to be a prosperity preacher. I'll be preaching on prosperity. Now that I've got your attention, let's read again Psalm 32, just verses 1 and 2. A maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Notice here it says this is a maskil. And Matthew Henry says that there is nothing in which we have more need of instruction than in the nature of true blessedness. There is nothing in which we have more need of instruction than in the nature of true blessedness. What he means, what he just said, is that we need to be instructed as to what true blessedness are and actually what leads to this true blessedness. And the verses I've just read will teach us just that, will rather remind us of just that. Perhaps as you pause and ask again, are you truly happy? Just love the song, "It is well with my soul." Maybe if I'm asked differently, can you be able to say in all honesty, "It is well with your soul"? Can you say true happiness and you are friends? If so, maybe why? See, most times we think of happy people, perhaps people who are in music videos. When you see people who look like as if they've just come from a magazine shoot, they're flawless. They look like they have money. They are the coolest of friends. They have the latest gadgets. In fact, yesterday, somebody wanted to visit Vanessa and I, an old friend of ours. Later on, we only just found out he has flown to Paris on holiday. I'm like, wow. You know, it is tempting to look at that and people to say, wow, those people must be happy. As I'm speaking, another friend of ours who is visiting us tomorrow, he flew his family from Malawi. They are on their way to Sun City to have fun for Christmas. I've never been to Sun City. You see, the problem is, it is that kind of unbiblical thinking that makes us think happiness, but what I mean, true happiness, is out of reach. But is it really? Is it out of reach? Because true happiness, brothers and sisters, is not out of reach. So much so that it should be common that when you come here, and I see some of it in some people's lives right here, but I think we need to see more and more. What am I trying to say? God's people are supposed to be the happiest people in this world. But you see, sometimes God's people tend to be the most grumpiest people. But not in David's words. David here is instructing us that if we ever know true blessedness, we need to understand it's on a higher plane. Because David writes this psalm out of his own lived out experience. In fact, he's taking us now to his present situation. He's saying, happy is this person. He had not always been happy. Because verses 3 and 4 takes us back to darker days when David was depressed because he had committed sin, a terrible sin of adultery and murder. Yet, on and on he went without owning up to this sin. And he said, when I did that and he confessed of my sins, my bones wasted away. Some commentators have said this is symptoms of severe depression. But thankfully, David owned up to sin. He confessed his sin. And that's what we have in verses 1 and 2. I believe the actual repentance is in Psalm 51, where he repented of his sin and he pleaded with God to restore the joy of his salvation. And in that Psalm, chapter 51, it says that David had actually promised that he would then teach sinners God's way. And there are some commentators that say Psalm 32 is a fulfillment of that promise. So, the question I have this morning is, what then is the basis of true happiness? True happiness. David gives us four reasons, and this is what I want to speak to us this afternoon. Four bases of true happiness. The first reason is the blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of our pardon. Look with me in verse 1. Blessed, that word simply means happy. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven. This is a person that is truly blessed. What kind of person? Is it a person that flies to France or goes to Sun City? There's nothing wrong in doing all those things. But what is David telling us? David is saying, if you want to see somebody that is truly blessed, is the person whose transgression, and every transgression, David is simply talking about passing or crossing a forbidden boundary. That's what transgression means. And look again, there's that word transgression. And in verse 1 again, there's a word of sin that refers to failure. And verse 2, end of verse 2, part B, says iniquity. Iniquity has to do with perversion. But at any rate, David is saying, I'll give you a picture of somebody that is truly happy. Here's a person whose sin, notice not sin, sin, his sin has been forgiven. This is an idea of pardon. It's an idea of transferring guilt from one person to the other. You can't miss this. You just can't miss this. And David is saying, happy is this man. Happy is this woman. Happy is this boy. Happy is this girl. The word forgiven here speaks of removal. I think you can't miss the picture. Here is a picture of somebody who is carrying a huge burden. And here is a burden of guilt, burden of shame because of one's sin. But David is saying, for this person to be able to be truly happy, this has to be removed from them. You remember in the Levitical sacrifices, in the sin offering, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest will come once a year and put his hands on the herd of the sin offering. There was actually two sin offerings, remember that. One was actually killed. This was actually a figurative transfer of the sins of the nation to the sin offering. It was actually pointing to what God would do through his son, Jesus Christ. But the other sin offering, it was sent to the wilderness. It went away, never ever to come again. And the picture there was simply this. If you are this person whose burden has been removed, has been transferred from yourself to somebody else, you should be truly happy. Like 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago, I was at Mainland at a queue. Now, I was carrying a bag, and I noticed that this bag is very heavy. And I kept on doing this. Then later on, I realized, you know what I need to do is put it down. When I put it down, I felt relieved. You know what just happened? That weight, that burden was lifted from me. Now it was the floor that carried it. This is the picture David is talking about here. It's the idea of pardon. Someone else bearing your burden. Somebody else bearing your guilt. Someone else bearing your shame. Today or tomorrow, the president of Malawi is going to give a Christmas speech. Every Christmas, the president has a right to free prisoners because it's Christmas. This is called his presidential prerogative. So he's going to pardon some prisoners because of their good behavior. I think it is standard practice. I think even here it happens. But that's not the idea David is talking about. Here's David's idea. He says, happy is this man whose sin has been lifted from his shoulders and whose sin has been placed upon somebody else who has borne it and has carried it. Does anyone come to mind? It's the reason for this season. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself. When John saw Jesus Christ, he said, there's the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sins of the world. Friends, this is why we are celebrating Christmas. Jesus Christ came to carry away our sins. Not because we had good behavior. And this is the idea of the removal of sin. And David the psalmist is saying, truly happy is this man. Truly happy is this woman whose sin has been carried away. Now, I want to tell you this. If anyone else convinces you that you are happy, that life is great, that the world is wonderful, but you are still carrying the burden of sin, I tell you in all love, the devil has you for a fool. Why? Because there's no grounds for happiness in God's sight. No matter how much you have that makes this world smile, no matter how many flights you can take to Paris, until you can be able to sing and mean it like we sang, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. If you can say that with all honesty, all certainty, and that indeed is your conviction, David is saying you are a truly happy person. Peter said, the Lord Jesus bore our sins in his body on a tree. Nothing brings me true happiness but to know, to remember that my soul has been freed. That I, as a sinner, has been forgiven of my sin. That one so holy, one so sinless, one so precious has taken my punishment. What a reason, friends. What a reason to celebrate Christmas. So David is saying, truly happy is this person. This is pure bliss. Can I ask you a question again? Did you ever pause this week and be amazed at the wonder of the gospel? I'm not a prophet or a son of the prophet, but I'm sure with all certainty, like I did, you meditated on some problem that you have. Maybe a difficult relationship, maybe your child, maybe your job, maybe financial pressure, maybe rent is coming, or your documents are up for renewal again. Did you ever pause? Yes, those things are real. But did you ever pause just to be in awe of what God has done through his Son? Do you imagine what joy we often forfeit, all because we will not deliberately pause and think of what God has done by placing our sins on his son. The psalmist is saying, happy is this man who is forgiven. And I add, you and I need to be reminding ourselves of this blessing. We should, we must count our blessings. So that's the first reason for this blessedness. But the second reason for this blessing, look with me again, verse number 1, Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Do you see that? What another reason for true happiness? David says again, there's another reason for a happy life. It is not only the blessing of forgiveness or blessing of pardon, but also it is a blessing of having a covering for your sin. What? Whose sin is covered? It is hidden. It is concealed. What the psalmist is saying again is this. If God can see you and see your sin, then you are a miserable person. But when God looks upon you, and if he can see no sin in you, then you are blessed indeed. But the question now is this, how is it possible that the all-powerful God, all-knowing God, all-seeing God, how can he be able to look at you, look at me, and see us, and not see sin? How is that even possible? This almighty God, settled not by anything you can do, because the very first thing man did when he committed sin was try to cover it, right? So, question is, how can it be that you and I have a covering for sin that is so effective that the eye of God cannot see it? So, Newton, you mean it is possible for the mighty God who created me, who has all the power, who created this universe out of nothing, with his word alone? You mean he can look at me and not see sin in me? Yes, that's what I'm saying. And this is the reason for true blessedness. Friends, this actually leads us to the biblical teaching we call the atonement. Atonement. To cover simply means to atone. Again, I'll take you back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? There was the Ten Commandments. But thankfully, that is not all there was. Those commandments was to remind Israel that the God himself is holy. If that is all there was, Israel would be doomed. But thankfully, in the Ark of the Covenant, there was a mercy seat. A mercy seat that was pointing to Christ, our atonement sacrifice. And the psalmist here is saying, if your sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, you are truly happy. Because if your sins have been forgiven by a thrice holy God in heaven and been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. You know why? He sees his son, Jesus Christ. God cannot charge you against that sin. Terrible sins you and I have committed. This is the blessing of atonement. So if God has covered your sin, you better be a happy person. If God has not covered your sin, you are trying to cover your own sin. I hope you're a miserable person. Again, did you pause this week and marvel at the blessing of having your sin covered? been going through the book of Philippians back home, and I'm just amazed with Paul. Paul is in jail and is instructing the Philippians. He says, rejoice. This is actually not a suggestion. It's a command. He says, rejoice. Paul must have known what we need to know, or what we need to be reminded of. The true blessedness is and should be a reality of every child of God. This should be our daily experience. In other words, the gospel that has saved us should affect our everyday living. Paul went through difficult experiences, far worse than you and I could ever be called. But how did Paul handle these trials? I don't want to make light of any of our difficulties. We all face them. It's painful. And the reality is this. One man said this. It's either you're in a trial, you're going into a trial, or you're coming into a trial. Choose one. I think David is saying, if you can be consumed for what God has already done in dealing with our greatest problem. The problem is that we don't always understand what our greatest problem is. If we can just be consumed with the fact that this God, this loving God, has already met our greatest need. This is a need for forgiveness. He has covered our sin. In other words, he has removed the filthy garments and he has clothed us with the perfect clothing of his own son. Friends, I know of no other way for me or for you to be happy but to recite, remind yourself of what God has done in Christ. Even as Pastor Joshua was opening the service, he said something that I felt like, that's all I was trying to say today. Sometimes our hearts get so cold. But you know why? We forget of these blessings. We want to settle for lesser blessings. But the psalmist is saying, blessed is this person. Blessed is this person whose sin is covered. I believe when Christians begin to marvel at this, to see our Father for how glorious he is and the beauty of his Son, that should change or help us to adjust our attitudes. Are you happy? David seemed to be saying, if you have had a covering for sin, you better. You better. So, what is the basis of this happiness? Sins forgiven. Sin covered. But there's a third reason. And this is my favorite thing to talk about in the entire Bible. Verse 2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Happy is the man, happy is the woman against whom God does not charge him with any wrongdoing. This is a blessing of justification. Verse 2. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Justification teaches me that though I'm a sinner in Christ, though I'm a sinner in Christ, I stand before God justified. I used this illustration before, but I think it is helpful to use it again. Justification teaches me that though I'm a sinner, in Christ, I stand before God just as if I never sinned before. I also appreciate that all the more. Let me pull back this 5-franc coin. Justification needs to have two sides, like this 5-franc coin, right? On one hand, God says, sin and guilt that has been carried away and covered under the blood, I do not charge against my people. Paul says something similar in 2 Corinthians 5:19. He says this, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. How? Not counting men's sins against them. Wow. If this doesn't make you happy, I don't know what to make you happy. If this doesn't make you happy, Paris will even frustrate you more. But the other side of justification is actually worked out for us in Romans chapter 4. So I invite your attention to the book of Romans chapter number 4, briefly. Please turn your Bible to Romans chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5. And the context of this chapter in Romans chapter 4 is that Paul is using Abraham and David as illustrations of justification by faith alone. Verses 4 and 5. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Now you can, let me just stop there and try to maybe shed a bit of light so that we can understand this. Because I have noted that one of the most difficult things to understand, yet the easiest to understand, is actually what I'm about to share with you right now. What Paul was saying here, and what actually also David is saying, is this. If Rudy Omani or Steven Peterson, at the end of the month, they have worked hard, leaving their families early in the morning, coming back late, they have worked hard. At the end of the month, the boss now draws an envelope and says, here's a gift. That's a paycheck. Your gift, Rudy. Your gift, Omani. What do you think? Yeah, Chan, eh? This is not a gift. I've worked for it. But the point is now in verse 5. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as what? Righteousness. So inspired by David, Paul quotes Psalm 32. Apostle Paul is actually saying the very same thing David is saying, maybe even more. Apostle Paul seems to be saying, if God does not count your sin against you, that's good news, but that's just half the story. Just one side of the coin. If that is true of you, if God looks at you and doesn't count your sin against you, it is as if you have an account in heaven. When it comes to our being accepted by God, if you have an account in heaven, you now have to know that your account is zero, 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 zero. Because there's nothing you can do to be accepted by God. Right? So with your zero account, there's nothing you can do for you to be accepted by God. But what David is saying, and what I believe Paul is even shedding more light, is if God can see you with that zero account, if he cannot charge you against your sin, if God doesn't charge you against your sin, I believe that gets you heaven. But that's just half the story. If God does not charge you against your sin, Paul is saying he then deposits into your account the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. All the vast riches of Jesus Christ become yours the moment you trust upon Jesus Christ alone. Again, I have found this is very difficult to understand. You know why? It's because our human nature is for us to believe that when it comes to our acceptance before God, we need to inject some level of human activity. But friends, there's none. What I just shared is, I don't know any of these familiar with our 419. Remember when I was growing up in Hillbrook, you know about 419, Mugu. Anyone knows Ponzi scheme? You know, sometimes I get an email, somebody says they've got $10 million, they want my help. You know, when somebody has got $10 million, they will not have my email address. So they said, we have $10 million, we just want you to help us, please keep it between us, we'll share this money. Of course, just delete, delete, delete. I know these people are not going to help you in any way. What is my point? My point is, what I'm saying, this is as good as it gets. In fact, it is so good to be true. That is why it's difficult for sometimes us or the people that we're sharing the gospel to understand. Because people always think there's something I need to do. So you're telling me if I have to be right with God, there's nothing I must do? I even met an elder of the church. I was sharing the gospel with him, and I noticed that this guy doesn't seem to understand the gospel. Then I asked him, what do you think God expects of you? Then he said, no, don't worry about that. I know what God expects of me, but I'm actually covered. I've got 90% righteousness. 90% righteousness. So for him, 90 looks good, because if you're at school, you score 90. That looks good, right? But what I'm saying is, there is nothing we actually contribute in our becoming right with God. This is why the psalmist is actually saying, this is as good as it gets. You know why? If it was to depend on your 10% or your 5%, you could bring the best thing you have ever done, the best prayer you have ever uttered before God, and present before God, and God will still have to reject you. You know why? Even that is not free from sin. If you have loved Christ, have you loved him enough? Because even if our repentance is full of unrepentance, our believing is full of unbelief. There's nothing you and I do perfectly. The only hope we have is to realize that I have got nothing for me to be right with God. The only way for me to be right with God is to put my trust, my faith upon his sinless, precious Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what gets you right with God. You see, the problem is that most of us, we have got very low views of the holiness of God. Very low views of the justice of God. But sadly, very high views of our own goodness. But this is the best get rich scheme. In fact, it's the only rich scheme that works. This is such amazing news that we should be able to pause and be in awe. Like, is this really true? Is this really true? Because it is. Salvation is a gift to sinners, to the guilty, not a reward to the righteous. Now imagine if you had to think about that every day. That if you're in Christ, it's a gift. Very humbling, huh? This is why the writer of the song Amazing Grace, John Newton, we are not related. When he was getting old, couldn't see so well, but he said, there's two things I can remember. That I'm a great sinner, but Jesus is a great savior. Imagine that being part of your DNA. David seemed to be saying, happy is this man. Happy is this woman whose sin has been forgiven. It's been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this person has justifying grace as their possession. But also there is a last reason for this blessedness. It's a blessing of our associated small assurance or sanctification. Verse 2b. Psalm 32. David says, blessed is a man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit, in whose spirit there's no guile. Literally, no empty show, no hypocrisy. In other words, David is saying, when a man's sin has been removed, when a man has been covered by the blood of Christ, he's been justified, blessed is this man if what? If this man or this woman is living in light of this truth. Because sad is somebody hearing about these truths but living as if these truths don't matter. One that has been justified is the right of God. Should not be in a process of being cleansed, putting off of all that needs to be put off, and putting on all that needs to be put on. You cannot be coming to this Bible believing, Bible teaching churches. All these truths are being lifted up. Christ is being exalted. Yet your life is not being changed. David is saying, happy is a person who's living in reality to this truth. This person is not living a life of a hypocrite. He's not pretending, making people think he is what he's not. In a group like this, I can't assume that everybody is living in light of this gospel truth. So unhappy and miserable is the one knowing these things, yet has no experience of them. And yet hides behind a deceitful mask, facade of religious profession. Living Hope Church, understand this. There's no real blessing from God until God's forgiveness is real to you. There's no blessing from God until your sin is covered. There's no blessing from God until justifying grace is your possession. Until you live out of hypocrisy of merely putting a show, nodding at the right time, saying the right things, and yet you're not living in light of all these truths. You see, church, but when these things are true, when you're living in light of these truths, that's when you can be able to say with Paul, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every what? Circumstance. Now, you notice in our passage here, there's no word for circumstance. You see, what's the point? These are things that transcend circumstances. The man who has had his sins removed, covered by the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, justified by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ, and this man is assured of the reality of the grace of God in his life. This man, this woman can lose a loved one. This man, this woman can get sick, lose their job, be unpopular in this cruel world, and be called to walk through the valley of suffering, sorrow, and affliction. Yes, it's not going to be pleasant, but we all if the Lord allows will call us to walk through some difficult circumstances. But I believe if David is saying anything in verses 1 and 2, he's saying our happiness does not depend on circumstances. Our happiness does not depend on what is happening. Our happiness, our true joy, depends on some wonderful truths that never change, no matter what else is changing. In fact, this is usually in life's most difficult times that this contentment is most real in a Christian's life. Why? Because whatever is happening, our sins are gone. Our sins are under the blood. All that Jesus ever did to please the Father, to remove God's wrath upon us, all that Jesus Christ did has been credited to us. It is ours as if we live Jesus Christ's life. What a great cause for continual Christian contentment. That's the sinner whose Savior is the Lord. I believe this person will lead a life at least characterized by contentment in salvation. If your time would have looked like in verses 3 to 7, that talks about ongoing confession of sin. Because contentment in salvation is a lie without ongoing confession of sin. And both are a lie without conformity to the scriptures. That's what verses 8 to 11 teaches us. Are you happy? Are your sins forgiven? Are your sins covered? Don't leave this place without examining your heart. If indeed you've been forgiven by God as a judge of this world. There's two kinds of forgiveness. This is God's judicial forgiveness. God as a judge saying, you have sinned against me, there has to be judgment. But on the basis of my son did, you are forgiven. For in Christ, that's the reason for me to celebrate. But perhaps, maybe you are here. This is not true to you. I ask you again. Examine yourself. Because verse 6 is application of this psalm. So we're to seek the Lord while he may be found. That simply means you may want to seek the Lord when it is too late. So tomorrow, most of us will be enjoying some, chicken, beef, fish, pasta, pap, family and friends. As you do so, please examine yourself as to where you stand with the reason for the season. Jesus Christ himself, has he forgiven you of your sin? Is your sin covered? Is justifying grace a reality? And are you living in light of this truth? Also, I know you'll be spending time with family and friends. The best way to celebrate Christmas with your family and friends, especially those that do not know the reason for the season, challenge them. Challenge your family and friends to turn to Christ. He alone brings true happiness, true fulfillment, true satisfaction. He is the bread of life. Is he your bread? If he's your bread, you will at least agree with David that he is your happiness. This is true prosperity. Don't buy to the cheap kind of prosperity. This is true prosperity. I plead with you, whoever you are, wherever you are, turn to Christ. Flee to Christ. Flee from your sin. Put your faith in Christ alone. Let's pray. Gracious Father, how I pray that you may apply, Lord, these truths into our hearts. We are so prone, Lord, to forget of your blessings, true prosperity. The Lord, a sinner like me has been forgiven of all my wickedness. That my life, Lord, has been changed. Not because of anything that I've done, but simply because you have given me the gift to believe upon your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that you help me, help my brothers, help my sisters. That, Lord God, may you remind us daily that we are truly blessed. Especially, Lord, when these things don't make sense. Nothing makes sense. May we fight, God, for joy because of what you have done for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's anyone in this room, perhaps I've been hearing these truths, but not living in the reality to these truths. Still living in hypocrisy, holding on to their sin. Father, I pray they'll not leave this place until they bow to you in repentance. Father, may you do that right now. Anyone who does not know you, may they come to you. And those that know you, may they be strengthened. May they be encouraged to understand, Lord, you are our satisfaction. Lord, we ask this in the wonderful name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.